Romans chapter number 1, we looked at verse number 8 through 13 this morning. I want to begin our reading in verse number 14 this evening. Paul is writing to the church here in Rome, and he is writing his introduction here in chapter number 1. He comes to verse number 14 as we'll begin this evening. I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as in me I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to every one that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. In verse number 17, for therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul, when he met the Lord on the Damascus Road, he asked the Lord two questions. He said to the Lord, who are you, Lord, and what would you have me to do? These are the two questions that Paul asked. And both of these were very good questions for Paul. And Paul became, from that point forward, Paul became probably the greatest missionary that the world has ever known. Paul took the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, there to the Gentile world there at that time. And after his death, there was a colony of believers planted in every major city in the Western Roman Empire. And Paul was one that was a murderer. Paul was one that was anti-gospel. He was anti-Jesus Christ. He was against those Christians that proclaimed Christ. I think we'd have to ask ourselves this question. What was it that so transformed Paul? What is it that changed Paul? He was transformed from what he was to this missionary, this great preacher, this church planter, this one that was really no fear in presenting the gospel. Could you imagine having that kind of fervor as Paul had, that kind of passion, that kind of zeal? To be willing to die for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. As I read through and study the life of Paul, and as I come to the book of Romans here, and I'm reading through the book of Romans, and it just is something I see with Paul. It's convicting to me. You know, we think that we are serving the Lord, and the persecution we face, if any, would be so minor. Here, Paul is willing to die for preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is saying a few things, and I want to preach a message this evening. The three I ams. Paul says, "I am" three different times here, and I want to look at those three I ams that Paul says that he is. Notice here what the Apostle Paul said. The first, in verse number 14, Paul says, I am a debtor, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. The first thing in our study this evening, I want us to see that Paul says this. Number one, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor. The first of Paul's self-describing statements is, I am a debtor. That means Paul was faithful to his obligations of the gospel. Paul realized that who he was and that who Jesus Christ was and what Jesus Christ did for him. And Paul came to the place where he describes himself. He says, I am a debtor. This is a life-changing, a life-altering perspective. Paul living for Jesus Christ in the world, this was not just an option for him. This was not something that Paul thought that he had to say, am I going to live my life for Christ? Am I going to live as a debtor, or am I going to do my own thing? This was not an option for Paul. When Paul comes to the place in Romans where he says, I'm a debtor, he's saying, I have no other choice. I have no other way of living. I am going to live as a debtor to Jesus Christ. I am going to live for Christ. I believe if we were to take the time to study the life of Paul, and we wouldn't have that kind of time in just one message here. But those of you that have studied and know the life of Paul and studied Paul's testimony here, you would realize this, that Paul meant what he said. This was not an option for Paul to do anything other than to serve the Lord, to serve Jesus Christ. He considered himself deeply in debt. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, let me just go there. You don't have to turn there. I'll just read this to you. In 1 Corinthians 6:20, Paul said this, for ye are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. This is the way Paul felt. Paul also said this in 1 Corinthians 9:16, "For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel." Paul didn't see it was an option to preach or not to preach. Paul said this, "I don't have an option. The option not to preach is not even an option." He says, woe unto me if I preach not the gospel. And that word debt, the word debt makes us think of a money debt that we might owe somebody. But here in this portion of Scripture, it doesn't really capture that urgency. It's more like a city that's being conquered and someone going out and trying to tell the people that they've got to submit, or a group of heralds going out and trying to get people to realize what's taking place, and therefore they owe it all to the citizens to tell them urgently that somebody has come and conquered them, that they need to defend themselves, or they need to help. This urgency, this debt, is not just simply I owe money to somebody, I need to repay my debt. This is more like someone that really understands the urgency of this hour. We need to understand that Paul here is realizing and accepting the fact that the only debt he owed was not to anyone or anybody, but to Jesus Christ himself. I think of this story of the leopards in 2 Kings chapter 7. The Bible tells us a story of these leopards. They stumbled upon a vast resource. You remember that story? They went through and they studied this, or came through the resources here. Their fellow countrymen were starving, and their city was besieged. And they found all of these things from battle, and they could have kept them all themselves. But they went. The Bible says this in this 2 Kings 7:9, "We do not well. This is a day of good tidings, and we hold our peace." This is the spirit of Paul, his statement. You know, those who have found treasure, they want to share it. And those that have found the treasure of the gospel of Jesus Christ should have a desire to share it as well. There was an urgency on Paul when he says, "I'm a debtor," because he realized this. He had found the treasure that others needed. He's a debtor. He's a debtor. I see this. Number one, he's a debtor to Christ. Paul saw himself as a bond slave, a servant of Jesus Christ. He wasn't just a debtor, but he was a debtor to somebody, and that somebody was Jesus Christ. You know, if Paul describes himself as a debtor here, both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, if Paul describes himself as a debtor because of what Jesus Christ has done for him, then we this evening, we too ought to see ourselves that we owe a debt. We're a debtor. We are a debtor to Jesus Christ, because what Jesus Christ did for Paul, he's done the same thing for us. That same life that Paul lived, we too, if we saw ourselves as Paul saw himself as a debtor to Christ, we too could be used of God that way. We too could be used of God to share the gospel, to see this world reached, to see the world turned upside down. I preached this morning and spoke this morning in my introduction of just a few men that turned the world upside down, and those 17 men that came together and they thought that communism was the answer, the way to life. And even though they were obviously very wrong in their thought, the fact that they could gather so many people to their cause, it reminds me of those 12 apostles that turned the world upside down. They had the truth. They had the gospel. Could you imagine having that same zeal, having that same passion that the apostles had, having that same passion, that same understanding that Paul had, that I'm a debtor to Jesus Christ, and therefore I must do something with my life. Paul saw himself as a bond slave. Jesus paid it all to him I owe. We know that song, "He ransomed us from the slave market of sin." You know, Jesus Christ, he doesn't owe us anything, but we tonight, we owe Jesus Christ everything. We owe him everything. Under this first point here, I think we need to see that Paul saw himself as a debtor to Christ. He saw himself as a debtor to the church. Someone in your past viewed you as a gospel project. Aren't you glad that the person that witnessed to you witnessed to you? Couple amens. Aren't you glad that the person that witnessed to you, they were bold enough to share the gospel with you? Could you imagine if the person that shared the gospel with you decided that it wasn't important enough? Would you want to be in a place where people did not care about the souls of mankind? Would you want to be a part of a church where people did not care about the souls of mankind? Would you want to be a part of a church where someone viewed you not as a gospel project, but as a waste of time? You know, I'm so glad that somebody took the gospel of Jesus Christ to me. I'm so glad that somebody took the gospel of Jesus Christ to my parents. I've told the testimony of my mother a couple times here. I'm so glad that somebody didn't view her as a waste of time, but somebody viewed her as an opportunity to give life, to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul says, I'm a debtor. He's a debtor to Christ and a debtor to the church. They witnessed, they prayed, they shared the gospel with you, and they felt obligated to tell you about Jesus Christ. Do you have that same obligation this evening? Do we have that same passion? Do we have that same desire that we realize that I'm a debtor? I'm a debtor to Christ. I'm a debtor to the church. Somebody was obedient to Jesus Christ and shared the gospel message with me. Do you have that same zeal? Paul here is a debtor to the lost. Most practically, though, we're obligated to the lost. Paul saw himself as a debtor to those around him. Verse number 14, I'm a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians. Here he says the Greeks, they were the up and ups, or the wise and the unwise. He says, I'm a debtor to the intelligent. I'm a debtor to the ignorant. You know, as I read that, I was convicted. Here, Paul says, I'm a debtor to wise and unwise, the Greek, the barbarian. I can't pick and choose who I want to see saved. He's a debtor to each person. He wants to see the lost. It doesn't matter what their family makeup was. It didn't matter what their financial makeup was. It didn't matter what their intellect was. Paul says, I'm a debtor to the lost. I want to see every single person saved. I don't care if they're Greek. I don't care if they're barbarian. I don't care if they're wise. I don't care if they're unwise. I'm a debtor. I want to see the lost reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul was a wise man. If you were to study the life of Paul, you would find Paul is a very well-trained, very smart man. But he didn't just see his responsibility to reaching the intellect as him. He saw his responsibility to reach every single person, both Greek, barbarian, both wise and the unwise. Paul saw it is his responsibility. There's a pastor of a soul-winning church. He had his partner, soul-winning partner, out with him, and they approached a home on the other side of the tracks. In that home lived a family of a different race, a different culture, a different income level. That man said to the pastor, if we invite them to church, there would be people who just wouldn't understand. The pastor's response to that man was, yeah, you're one of them. You know, there are churches. There are churches still in America today that they do look at people, what they look at on the outside, and they decide if they want them to be a part of the church or not. They look at a person's wealth, or they look at a person's race. I worked for a pastor when I first got into the ministry, and he was in a church in Louisiana. In that church, he started bringing children in on the bus, and those children weren't the same color as those that were in the church, and they told him either stop bringing those children in or look for another job. Could you believe that? Paul here was saying this, I'm a debtor. It doesn't matter who you are. It doesn't matter your financial makeup. It doesn't matter how wise you are. It doesn't matter the color of your skin. I am going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ because I'm indebted. Could you imagine having that kind of passion? I'll never forget the first time I was really realized that was a real thing. I was pastoring a church in Georgia, and we had someone doing some concrete work for us, and this man was there for a couple days, and I went to him and his crew of people, and they were taking a break, and I brought them out some coffee, and we were just talking. I said, I want you guys to come to our church. That man looked at me and said, I thought you pastored a white church. And I said, I didn't know the difference. I didn't know there was a white church or a black church. And I shared that with him. I said, you know, our church, everyone's accepting our church. And he looked at me like I had 10 heads. He said, no, really, if I come to your church, am I going to be accepted? Boy, I didn't realize that was a real thing. And when I was faced with that, I thought to myself, here's somebody that doesn't think that they're welcomed at a church, and because of the color of their skin. And the reality is this, it doesn't matter the color of a skin. It doesn't matter the person's wealth. It doesn't matter the first person's family background. We ought to be reaching the world for Christ. We ought not be deciding ourselves who should get saved or who's a waste of time to witness to. Every single person we come in contact with, we ought to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. A church isn't doing its responsibility if it's not reaching everyone in its community. Church isn't doing its responsibility. Church is seeing themselves differently as Paul saw himself. Paul said, I'm a debtor. And when I'm a debtor, I'm a bondservant for Jesus Christ. I'm just going to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm a debtor to him. I'm a debtor to the church. I'm a debtor to the lost. I want to see scores of people saved. It doesn't matter who they are or where they come from or what side of the tracks they're on. We've got to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to them. I was talking to one of our police officers here this afternoon, and they were telling me about a community that they're a police officer in, and there's a community that the crime is really, really bad. I said, it sounds to me that we need to start a church there. He said, the police officers don't even like to go there. I said, we ought to start a church in that place. I think we ought to start a church in the worst areas of our cities. That's where we ought to go. We ought to go and try to reach people in the worst area of our cities. You know, sometimes we want the people with the nice houses to come to church, and we want the people that are maybe corporate positions and jobs to come to our church. The reality is this: the church ought to be made up of every single person in their community. You know, God gave us Toledo that we ought to reach it. One of the things I've talked to our staff about, I'm really beginning to work on. I've talked to a couple other families in our church about putting some outreach ministry opportunities every single month, have a major outreach activity where we can really get into our community and share the gospel of Jesus Christ. That ought never get old to us. Going in and sharing the gospel, you say you can't really build a church off of somebody that doesn't have income. We're not commanded to build a church off someone that has income. You know, whether they can contribute financially to the church or not, that's not our responsibility to share the gospel with those that can only financially contribute to the church. We ought to share the gospel with every single soul we come in contact with and let God worry about the finances of the church. We've got to be thinking about our community. We've got to be thinking about people that are lost without Jesus Christ. Someone told me there's a pocket of Spanish people in the Toledo area, and my heart, my passion, I actually talked to one of the Spanish-speaking men in our church. He said, we need to start a Spanish ministry there. Pastor Oscar's not a Spanish-speaking man. His wife is Spanish-speaking, but he's just a Spanish-listening man. I think we ought to see every single area of our community reach with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I think we ought to give the gospel to the drunk. I think we ought to give the gospel to the addicted. I think we ought to give the gospel to the little boy and girl that doesn't have a mom and dad that loves them and cares for them, the one that thinks that life is hopeless, the one that thinks that there's no one that cares. We ought to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and let them know that Jesus Christ cares for them. You see, someone might think that there's not an opportunity to share the gospel. They're just not looking. The opportunity is all around us. Paul here says, I'm a debtor. I'm a debtor to Christ. I'm a debtor to the church. I'm a debtor to the lost. I'm going to live my life so that the lost can hear the gospel. In verse number 15, Paul says this, so as much as it is in me, I am ready. He says, I'm a debtor in verse 14. He says in verse number 15, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. You see, not only was Paul faithful to the obligations of the gospel, but now watch this. Paul was flexible for the opportunity to preach the gospel. You know what the problem I believe with most Christians today? They're not ready. They're not ready. Paul says, I'm ready. I am making myself available. If God wants to put me in Rome, I'm going to go to Rome and preach. If it means death, I'm going to die for the gospel of Christ, but I'm going to be ready. It doesn't matter where it is. I'm not going to be, it doesn't matter how I get there. All that matters is I'm going to be flexible. I'm going to be ready. So when Jesus Christ wants to use me, I'm going to be usable. You know, there's some that they say, I'm ready, but are you truly flexible? Suppose this evening that God said to you, I want you to quit your job and go to the mission field. How ready are you? Suppose God says this evening that I want to change all the plans in your life that you've made, and I want you to do what I want you to do. Are we ready? Are we ready to give up our luxuries? Are we ready to give up our homes? Are we ready to give up the things that we have to do what God desires for us to do? Paul says this in verse number 15, I'm ready. I don't have plans that I'm going to live by. My plan is to be ready for what Christ wants for my life. Let's say God says, I want you to give up everything that you wanted. I want you to follow me. I want you to go to the ends of this earth and share the gospel of Jesus Christ in a foreign land. Are you ready? As Paul says, I'm ready. Church, if we're not ready to go to the other side of town, then we're not going to be ready to go to the other side of the world. The church I pastored, I had a man come to me and he said, Pastor, I believe God's calling me to be a missionary. And I said, what do you want to do as a missionary? He says, I want to take the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he told me the country. And I said to him, I've been here for about a year and a half and you've not led one person to the Lord. I never see you on soul winning night. You haven't brought one person to church. How are you going to be ready to do it there? He just kind of looked at me. Couldn't believe I said that to him. I said, if you're not a soul winner in America, you're not going to be a soul winner in another country. If you don't have a passion to see people saved here, you're not going to have a passion to see people saved someplace else. So I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord. Take me to whatever you want me to go and I'll follow you. If you're not willing to follow him here, you'll never be willing to follow him over there. And I think a person that like Paul, a great missionary like Paul, it ought to be someone that's the greatest soul winner in the church or the ones that God calls to the mission field. Because if we're not a great soul winner here, we're not going to be a great soul winner there. One faithfully serving the Lord where they're at ought to be the one then that God calls to the ends of this earth. You know, we need to be ready. We need to be ready for God to call us to the uttermost, or we ought to be ready for God to lead us here in Jerusalem. You know, I read a lot of these missionary prayer letters, and I get encouraged when missionaries write and they tell about the souls that were saved and the people being discipled and what God's doing in their churches. And, you know, we expect that, don't we? Could you imagine a missionary that wrote and said, I didn't witness to one person this year. I didn't invite one person to church. I didn't hand out one tract this year. I didn't share the gospel at all. Not one convert. How many of you would say we ought to keep that missionary? How many of you ought to say we ought to change missionaries? Church, what if we had to give a report to our missionaries? What if we had as a church say, you know what, missionaries, this is how many souls we've seen saved. This is how many tracts we've given out. This is how many times we've opened our mouth and shared the gospel of Jesus Christ with someone in our community. See, we expect maybe someone to do it in the uttermost. We ought to be doing it here. We ought to be flexible. We ought to be following the Lord. We ought to be ready to give the gospel right here in our area. You know, the longer I'm in this Toledo area, you know, the more I see people need Jesus. You know, when I first came to Monclova, I just thought that everybody in Monclova loved the Lord and came to Monclova Road Baptist Church. That's not necessarily true, is it? I found myself in Toledo the other day, actually a couple times here since I've been here. I've gone down there and met some folks, but I found myself in Toledo the other day, an area that someone said to me, oh, you shouldn't be down there. I didn't know it. I know it now. But I was going to a specific place, and I found myself in that area, and I thought to myself, this place needs Jesus. In a church, we ought to be active and ready to reach this community, not just the community of Monclova, but every single township, every single community that touches our church. We ought to have a plan. We ought to have a focus. We ought to have a mission. We ought to be ready to reach this community with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I was talking with our staff. I was asking about this fair that we do in the summertime. And I've heard good things that the gospel is given quite a bit. And I asked him this question. I said, how much of our church gets involved in that fair ministry? And some said, sometimes, Pastor, it's us standing there. Now, if we were to say, you know what, we're not going to have a fair ministry this year because just too much time, too much effort. I would hope some would say this, too much time, too much effort. We've got to get the gospel to this community. But how many are going to be ready and say, Lord, I'm ready. I'm willing for you to adjust my schedule. I'm willing to sacrifice my time. I'm willing because I'm indebted. I am ready as well now to take the gospel, however that is, whatever that means, whatever I have to do to my schedule, whatever I have to take out. I want to get involved in something that's reaching people with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And tonight I want to ask this question. Are you ready? You say, I'm ready. I want to be involved. Then what are you doing for the gospel's sake? Coming to church and just hearing the gospel preached isn't really being ready to share the gospel. It's taking what we hear. It's taking what we learn. And it's going out into our workplaces. It's going out into our community. It's going out and looking for opportunities. It's going out and saying, Lord, I'm willing. I'm going to sacrifice. I'm going to give. I'm going to give of my time. I'm going to give of my resources. I'm willing to go to wherever you want me to go, no matter who it is, no matter what community it is, no matter what lifestyle it is, no matter where it's at. I'm willing to go so that somebody might hear the gospel of Jesus Christ and be saved. See, Paul said, I want to go to the Gentile, and I want to go to the barbarian. I want to go to the wise, and I want to go to the unwise. He said, I'm ready to deliver. Paul was ready to preach the gospel. Here's a true story. There was a businessman who wanted to share the gospel with all of his employees, and he published a little booklet, and he gave it to them for Christmas. He entitled that booklet, The Reason Why. Has anybody ever read that booklet, The Reason Why? That was just written by a businessman. He just wanted his employees to read and hear about the gospel. And then in that little booklet, that simple illustration that he put out, today that booklet has been printed in more than 25 million times, and it's been translated in more than 30 languages, all because somebody said, I want every one of my employees to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, I'm not saying that everything we do, every one of us ought to have a booklet written in 30 different languages and printed 25 million times, but the reality is this, what are we doing with the gospel of Jesus Christ? Do we want to see people saved? Paul also says this, I'm willing to die. I believe that when a man is no longer afraid to die, for the first time in his life, he's ready to live. When a Christian says, I'm ready to die for the cause of Christ, for the first time in his life, he's ready to live. He's ready to live for Christ. You know, the reality is this, I fear there's going to come a day, and it's going to probably approach faster than we believe. There's going to come a time in America where, because of the position I hold, it's going to be a difficult thing for a church, for a pastor. It's going to be difficult. Somebody come in, and man comes in and wants to start using our girls' restrooms here, we're going to have a problem. Somebody comes and says, Pastor, I want you to marry me. A man comes and says, I want to marry me and you to marry me and my boyfriend. It's going to be a problem. We ought to love. We ought to share the gospel. We ought to give the gospel of Jesus Christ. We ought to minister to them. We ought to help them the best we can. But there's going to come a time where I believe this on purpose, they're going to try to attack the church and attack the Christian just to make a point. Matter of fact, Tom Molino and I are going tomorrow to a seminar, legal seminar where we're looking to learn how we can protect our church, the assets of our church, in all these things that are changing in America. It's coming. It's coming. Just listen to the promises that the politicians are making. It's coming. They're promising that they're going to give more rights to those that are living in sin than to those that want to follow the word of God. That's what their promise is. It's coming. They're not saying, not many of them are saying that we want to protect your rights. Matter of fact, the state I pastored in, the governor had an opportunity to sign a bill into law that would have protected the religious liberties, but he fell because he didn't want to stand up to the corporations and the money of that state, and wasn't willing to sign that bill like he should have. And listen to me, it's coming. It's going to come to this country. We're already seeing things all over the news. I read an article about, and you read the same thing and heard on the news that there was a group of a Christian couple that said, I'm not going to bake a cake for this marriage. And they were fined and they were told that they were wrong. And in the very next week or two, I read there was two Muslim men that said, I'm not going to deliver alcohol on the truck that I agreed to when I took this job and because it's against my faith. And they were awarded. They were awarded by the courts a settlement they didn't have to because of their religious beliefs, while Christians all over this nation, they don't have to. They don't have a right. They don't have a way for protection against what they believe. It's coming to this country. Matter of fact, it's not just coming to this country. It's here in this country. You say, what do you say all that for? I say this, if we're not willing to die, if we're not willing to stand when it's easy as a Christian, who thinks that we're going to stand when it gets difficult? If we're not reading our Bible and praying and witnessing when it's legal, are we really going to do it when it's illegal? If we're not going door to door in our community and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ while we have the opportunity to do it, are we going to die for it when we don't have the opportunity any longer? See, Paul was saying this, I'm willing to die. You couldn't threaten Paul with death. Because Paul said, you know, I preached in Jerusalem. He was mobbed. He preached in Athens. He was mocked. He said, I'm willing to go to Rome and be martyred. It doesn't matter. I'm willing to preach. It doesn't matter of my safety. It doesn't matter if it's popular. It doesn't matter if it's accepted. It doesn't even matter if it's legal or not. I'm going to take the gospel because he realized this. It was the gospel of Jesus Christ that changes lives. You know, the blessings of our country did not come because of wealthy men and corporations. The blessings of this country came by the hand of God. Christians, we need to stand so we can continue to see God bless. We need to stand for what is right. We need to stand and be willing, as Paul said, I'm willing to die for the cause of Christ. Lastly, Paul said in verse number 16, look there with me, he says, I'm not ashamed. He said in verse 14, I am a debtor. He said in verse 15, I am ready. And he said in verse 16, I am not ashamed. Was he not ashamed of? He said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Paul says, I'm not ashamed. Paul was fearless of the opposition of the gospel. Someone might have heard about Paul's desire to go to Rome and thought, Paul, you're crazy. Why in the world would you want to go to Rome? Why in the world would you want to take the gospel to this most pagan, immoral place? There, Nero was in charge, and Nero was a cruel man. Christians were thrown into the Colosseum to be eaten by wild animals. I stood in the Colosseum on a missions trip I was at one time, and I stood in the middle of that Colosseum, and I never forget the feeling of looking around that Colosseum on those massive Colosseum and just thinking to myself, there were Christians that stood here where I stand right now. And all they had to do was say, you know what, I give up. I denounce Christ. I'm not a follower of Christ. I was just kidding. It's really not that way. I don't believe in him anymore. But they stood there. I stood there in the middle of that Colosseum, in this massive Colosseum, and I pictured the animals or the gladiators that were coming across that field ready to destroy and eat and devour that Christian just simply for being a Christian. I wonder what that felt like. What it felt like for that Christian to stand there and that teeth of that animal to sink into their skin. I wonder what it was like for that Paul, that animal, to swipe that Christian's body and knock them to the ground. I wonder what it was look like, what it would feel like, that first glimpse of pain that Christian felt. And knowing this, it's because of the gospel of Jesus Christ. On the book table out here, there's a book called Fox's Book of Martyrs. Has anybody read that book? Boy, I read that book and I feel like I'm not doing anything for Christ at times. Men and women dipped in oil, hot oil, because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Tortured, abused, mocked, burned, beheaded because of their faith in Jesus Christ. Paul said, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the person of Jesus Christ. First of all, Paul was not ashamed of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of Christ. You know, it's not the Baptist gospel. It's not the Methodist gospel. It's not the Presbyterian gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. And we are never to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, I love when my youngest wants to pray. We're at a restaurant and she'll say, can I pray? Can I pray? And I love to hear her pray because she doesn't really care who's around. The people next to her and the people across the table from us, they all know we're praying. You ever pray because you know it's right to do, but you just kind of rub your eyes and hoping everyone just thinks that you're rubbing your eyes, but you're really praying, or picking up a napkin off the ground, you know, or pray real quick. Isn't it something at times how embarrassed we are to share the gospel of Jesus Christ? Isn't it something at times how embarrassed we are to be known as a Christian? Paul said this, I'm not ashamed. I'm not ashamed of the person of Jesus Christ. He's my friend. He's my captain. I'm not ashamed of the one who stepped out of heaven, suffered and bled for me. I'm not ashamed of the person of the gospel of Jesus Christ. How can I be ashamed of Jesus Christ with everything he's done for me? How could I be ashamed to tell someone about Jesus when Jesus Christ left heaven's home and became sin so I do not have to pay my sin debt? How can I be ashamed to tell someone of Jesus Christ? How can I be ashamed to tell someone I'm a Christian when Jesus Christ went to the cross and was beaten for me and died for me? How can I be ashamed to tell somebody of this person, Jesus Christ? He says, I'm not ashamed of the person. I'm not ashamed of the power. The gospel doesn't contain the power of God. It is the power of God. He says, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. D.L. Moody commented that the gospel is like a lion. All the preacher has to do is open the door open the door of the cage and get out of the way. It's got power. Do you ever talk to someone that just got engaged? You know, you never have to tell them to tell everyone they just got engaged. They just automatically do it, don't they? You know, you can see it on Facebook, and they're the ones holding the ring up for everyone to see. They can't wait to tell everyone that they're engaged. They can't wait to tell everyone that they found the one of the love of their life that they're going to spend the rest of their life with. They can't wait to tell everyone how much they love this person and how much they cannot wait to be married. You know, sometimes our problem is we're too familiar with the gospel, so we're not motivated. Someone said to me one time, why do we always have the gospel message on a Sunday morning? You know, sometimes for those of us that are saved, it gets old. And I thought to myself, how could it get old? How does it get old hearing about Jesus Christ over and over again? How does it get old hearing about what Jesus Christ did for me? How does it get old to think that I'm a sinner and where I was and the things I've done and what Jesus Christ has saved me from? Knowing this, that there's somebody out there in that place that needs to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'd want to hear it 100 times over just so I could be reminded of who Jesus is and that person maybe there, they too could know Jesus Christ as their Savior. The gospel of Jesus Christ should never get old. Never get old to the Christian. Sometimes our problems, if we're not careful, it becomes too familiar. We're not motivated. We're not compelled. We're not captivated any longer by it. John Phillips said this, the gospel is more powerful than more education. The gospel is more powerful than social reform. The gospel is more powerful than religion. It grips the mind. It stabs the conscience. It warms the heart. It saves the soul and it sanctifies the life. That's what the gospel is. He said, I'm not ashamed of the person, I'm not ashamed of the power, I'm not ashamed of the plainness of the gospel. It's the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. You know, it doesn't get any simpler than that, does it? The gospel doesn't get any simpler than that. You know, I learned this, our Mercedes-Benz, they invented an energy-absorbing car body that increased safety dramatically. The design, it was eventually copied by other companies because of its success. And when Mercedes-Benz didn't enforce the patent, they said to the Mercedes-Benz, why? If you've got this patent and this is the energy-absorbing car body that increased safety, if you were the only one with this patent, then you would hold the market on this. And their answer to that question was this, because some things in life are too important not to share. I think the gospel of Jesus Christ is even more important than that. And the gospel of Jesus Christ is more important in life than anything else not to share. Can you honestly say this evening, can I honestly say this evening, I'm a debtor, I'm ready, and I'm not ashamed.